Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a tiny edit and stretching it into a VHS rave-style riser for jungle and old-school DNB. And yeah, this is one of those moves that can instantly give your track history, dust, pressure, and that slightly haunted tape energy right before the drop. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, a riser is not just something that gets louder. It's a tension engine. We want this thing to feel like a fragment of a rave tape being dragged through time, not a generic EDM uplifter. So we're going to take a short vocal stab, snare hit, break slice, or rave chord and turn it into something that feels broken, unstable, and alive. Start by choosing a source with attitude. Don't pick something bland and expect the stretch to save it. The best sources are short vocal chops with a strong consonant, a snare tail, a chopped break fragment, or a stab from an organ, chord, or rave synth. For jungle and old school vibes, a vocal stab or break slice usually gives the most authentic broadcast feel. For darker rollers or heavier switch-ups, a metallic stab or noisy hit can work really well. Trim the clip down tightly in arrangement view. You want a very short source, something around a tenth of a second to maybe half a second, roughly 100 to 600 milliseconds. The shorter the source, the more character it needs to carry. If it's too long and too clean, it won't stretch into anything interesting. Now open the clip and turn warp on. This is where the personality starts. Choose the warp mode based on the source. If it's tonal or vocal, use Complex Pro. If it's noisy or gritty, use Texture. If it's a rhythmic break fragment and you want the transient to stay punchy, use Beats. And here's an important teacher note. Don't overcorrect the clip. The whole point is to let some of the warp artifact happen. We actually want a little bit of that smeared, unstable, tape-battered behavior. If you're using Texture, try a grain size around 40 to 80 milliseconds for a smeared stretch. If you're in Complex Pro, keep the formants near neutral at first, and if you want that darker tape sag later, you can automate them down a little. If you're in Beats, play with the preserve setting and don't be afraid to let it sound a bit rough around the edges. Next, we need to make the edit behave like a riser. There are two main ways to do that in live. You can duplicate the clip across 1 to 4 bars and stretch the tail with warp, or you can resample the source onto a new Audino track while you're processing it. For this style, resampling is often the better move because it bakes in the movement and gives you a more committed texture. Set a new Audino track to receive resampling or route your source to it, then record a pass while you automate the character of the clip. A great starting structure is a 2-bar riser. In bar 1, keep the source relatively intact. In bar 2, stretch it, filter it, degrade it, and make it feel less stable. That shape works really well in DNB because it creates a clear energy curve. It starts recognizable, then the last part falls apart in a controlled way. Now let's build the VHS tone. Put an audio effect rack on the riser and start with EQ8, saturator, maybe redux or erosion, and auto filter. With EQ8, high pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz so it doesn't mess with the sub. If it's harsh, dip some of the upper mids around 2.5 to 5 kHz. You can also slowly thin out the low mids and top end as the riser develops if you want that old Telecast, band-limited feel. Then add saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Try somewhere around 3 to 8 dB of drive, and turn on soft clip if you want it to stay dense without exploding. If the source feels too polite, push the drive harder and then pull the output back. That's a classic move. You're building pressure, not just volume. Redux can be great if you use it carefully. Don't crush it into a gimmick. Just lower the sample rate a bit so it feels like broadcast degradation rather than full destruction. Erosion is also useful if you want that dusty modulation hiss. Keep it subtle. Think tape grime, not white noise chaos. Now the important part. Automate motion. A good DNB riser needs movement in several dimensions, not just level. So automate the auto filter cutoff from low mid territory up into brightness over the course of the riser. Start it around 300 to 800 Hz and bring it up toward 8 to 12 kHz. By the end, add a little resonance near the end to increase tension. Don't make it too sharp too soon, or you'll burn off the buildup. If your source is tonal or vocal, try automating clip transpose downward by a couple semitones during the stretch. That downward sag can sound incredibly eerie. It gives you that feeling of the tape being pulled and strained rather than simply rising. For break slices, a small pitch drift can make the whole thing feel like it's melting into the drop. Now let's bring in the warble. This is where the VHS illusion really starts to sell. Use stock modulation devices like AutoPan, Chorus Ensemble, Phaser Flanger, or Frequency Shifter. Keep the movement subtle. You're not trying to distract from the track, You're trying to make the source feel unstable. For example, AutoPan can add gentle amplitude movement. Keep the amount low. Set the rate somewhere between quarter notes and half notes. And if you want stereo movement, use the wide face setting. Chorus Ensemble can smear the edges just enough to widen the sound and make it feel less digital. Frequency Shifter is excellent if you want a tiny pitch aura, especially with very small values. Even a little bit, like half a hertz to a few hertz, can make the whole thing feel like it's drifting out of alignment. A lot of the VHS vibe comes from the sense that playback is wobbling, not perfectly tracking. So don't be afraid to let the riser be slightly unstable. In fact, in jungle and old school DNB, that imperfection is often what makes it believable. We also need to keep the low end under control. This is critical. If the riser leaks sub or low mid clutter into the build, the drop loses impact. High pass aggressively. If necessary, cut some of the 180 to 350 Hz area if it's getting muddy. And keep an eye on stereo width. Wide can be great, but if the whole thing is too wide too early, it can sound flat in a loud mix. A good trick is to keep the early part narrower, then open it up in the final half bar so the riser feels like it blooms right before impact. Reverb and delay should feel like part of the artifact, not shiny decoration. Use reverb with a controlled decay, maybe around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds, and keep the low cut up so it doesn't cloud the bass region. Echo can also be beautiful here, if you filter the repeats so they thin out over time. A little modulation in the delay can add to that battered tape vibe. Think of the rise like this. First the source is recognizable, then the tail starts stretching, then the filter opens, then the texture gets unstable, and finally the whole thing feels like it's about to tear. That internal shape matters more than just making it longer. Energy curve is the real game here. Now tie it to the arrangement. Don't leave the riser floating by itself. In a real DNB tune, it should point directly at something specific. A break return, a bass hit, a phrase change, or a switch up. A classic setup is an 8-bar buildup with a stretched VHS riser in bars 7 and 8, then a short moment of silence or a low-pass choke before the drop lands on the next bar. That tiny vacuum makes the downbeat hit harder. If you want to go even more old school, mute the main drum bus for a split second right before the drop. That brief gap creates a lot of drama. It's not about filling every inch of space. Sometimes the most powerful move is to take almost everything away for a moment and let the riser hang there by itself. Here's a very useful advanced workflow tip. Once the riser feels right, resample it again. Commit it to auto. Then you can chop it, reverse parts of it, or pitch it later. This is huge for arrangement flexibility. You can make a cleaner version for the first build-up and a dirtier, more degraded version for later in the track, when the energy gets darker. And if you want to get really advanced, try making two versions of the same riser. One version cleaner and more musical, another version dirtier and more VHS destroyed. You can also make a third version that's wider and more unstable using Chorus Ensemble or Frequency Shifter. Put all three before different drops in the arrangement and see which one supports a jungle break return, a roller bass re-entry, or a neuro switch up best. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't stretch a boring source and expect magic. The source matters. Second, don't overdo the warp artifacts until the edit becomes mush. A little weirdness is good. Total destruction can kill the identity. Third, don't let low end leak into the riser. That will blur the drop. And fourth, don't open the filter too early. If the riser is already bright at the start, the tension disappears before the drop even arrives. One more pro move. If you want extra old school energy, let some transient survive somewhere in the chain. That ghost of the original hit poking through the haze can make the riser feel way more alive. You can also layer a very quiet duplicate underneath with less processing, or add a faint ghost break slice under the stretch if you want it to feel more like jungle and less like pure atmosphere. So the final takeaway is this. Don't just make it bigger. Make it feel like tape is bending under pressure. Choose a source with attitude, warp it with character, shape it with filtering and saturation. Add unstable movement, keep the low end clean, and arrange it so it clearly leads somewhere. That's how you turn a tiny edit into a VHS rave moment that feels right at home in jungle and old school DNB. For practice, make three versions of the same stretched edit. One clean and musical, one darker and dirtier, and one unstable and wide. Use different dominant approaches for each one, like warp and automation, resampling and print bouncing, or modulation and stereo movement. Then place them before different drop types, and compare which one actually makes the track hit harder. That's the move. Stretch the edit, dirty it up, let it wobble, and make the transition feel like a fragment of a lost rave broadcast tearing open right before impact.